Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
For the first broadcast of the new year from New Orleans, Louisiana, ladies and gentlemen, and... Can you hear that? Sound of freshly caught beads. I don't know if I'm the first... If these are the first beads caught in Orleans Parish this year, but they're among the first. Because carnival season began last night. Isn't that amazing? People around the country think that Mardi Gras is, you know, someday in February. But carnival season begins on 12th night. And it was pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable that, you know, despite what you may be reading in the newspapers, it was after dark, and folks brought their families out, kids and everything, to stand around a streetcar right outside, just down the block from the art museum, the city art museum, and just to get some beads, just to see some people in funny costumes and get beads and watch them drink a little bit while they got on the streetcar. And, you know, it did the thing. It did the thing that it's supposed to do, which is changes the mood. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of a change in mood, about 19.5 million consumers who recently purchased digital television sets are complaining about the quality. These are people who apparently don't listen to this broadcast or don't believe it. Many who bought the new and improved televisions were stunned to take their new purchase home, only to realize they're not that different from the regular conventional sets. Right here, right now, a spokesman for Consumer Electronics said last week that many believe the image quality is worse. The digital wonderland, ladies and gentlemen, it has something for everyone, as long as you don't expect it to be good. Matt Swanson, Director of Business Analysis for Consumer Electronics, told Daily Variety several people don't realize a special antenna must be used when installing their set, or that they must subscribe to an HDTV service from their cable company to receive high-definition pictures. According to Swanson, it's not just a matter of plugging in your television set and having high-quality images right away. He said a high-def display is dependent on external sources, and that, he says, is where consumer understanding drops off, unquote. That poor consumer. It's the consumer understanding that's to blame, ladies and gentlemen. It's not your set. At the same time, we are seeing the use of the phrase high definition now replacing digital quality as the kind of catch-all. You know, there will be high. What did I hear this week? High definition, something absurd. You know, it wasn't a high definition garage door opener, but it was close, and that's coming. So high definition, despite having bamboozled all these other people so far, is just beginning the bamboozling. Hello, welcome to the show.
It's a place where love
another time. My dreams in stride. It's time for that old sun to rise. Must you come so soon? Oh, oh, sunrise. You don't soothe me like the moon. I'm always returning to that world of love and peace. One thing I'm sure ain't no fantasy. It's the place I'll always want to be. And the girl I met must be for me. By the time my dreams in stride, it's time for that old sun to rise.
From the lakefront of Lake Pontchartrain in New Orleans, Louisiana, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this very edition of Le Show. And we don't have the music that would signal this next feature for very simple and complicated reasons. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to read the trades for you. This is from Aviation Daily, the daily of the aviation industry, hence the name. So one gathers. You know, I'm just presuming here. I'm just doing some presuming. And the story is TSA pilot would offer ads at airport security checkpoints. Ads. Ladies and gentlemen, airport security checkpoints. But here, let me read it for you. Advertising and security checkpoints will be coming to an airport near you under a proposed Transportation Security Administration pilot program. I'm glad they got their eye on the ball, because there's nothing more important. Under the one-year pilot program, TSA will allow commercial advertisers... See, pilot program. I don't think they mean the pun. It's Aviation Daily, and it's a pilot program, don't you know? Under the one-year pilot program, TSA will allow commercial advertising at passenger screening checkpoints in select airports. Not selected, select. Throughout the U.S. and its territories. Quote, interested parties will have to partner with airport operators to develop a proposal for TSA review. Only airport operators can submit proposals for use of the checkpoints for advertising, according to the Federal Business Opportunities website. Did you know there was such a thing? You do now. TSA plans to launch a one-year pilot program where airport operators may enter into an agreement with vendors who will provide... And listen to the lingo here now, ladies and gentlemen, because you're going to learn some new jargon. Divestiture bins, divestiture and composure tables, and metal-free bin return carts at no cost to TSA, said spokeswoman Amy Kudwa. Divestiture bins, that's what you put your shoes and your computer in. Composure tables, that, I'm just, I'm at a loss with my admiration for that. That's, I think, where they put your stuff when they want to, you know, inspect it further. Composure tables. I'm in awe. Quote, in return for the equipment, TSA will allow airport operator-approved advertisements to be displayed on the bottom of the inside of the bins. Now, those of you who've been flying through LAX, this sounds familiar. Yes, an initial test in Los Angeles began in July of last year, Kudwa said. TSA is holding an industry day this January 11th at its headquarters for those interested in participating in the program. You want your name in the bin? Arlington, Virginia, January 11th. Any airport operator is allowed to submit a proposal by February 16th to TSA outlining how they will fill TSA's requirements. We don't know exactly what those are, but I bet they're stringent. Ooh, I bet they're strict. If your ad is not up to TSA requirements, you may have to, have the agency personnel strip. If the proposal is accepted by TSA and undergo a secondary screening as well, if the proposal is accepted by TSA, a memorandum of agreement will be, as long as the advertising does not distract passengers from security, it's a great opportunity, says Scott Montgomery, a principal at an ad agency that created a campaign for Chase Bank to sponsor electrical outlets at Indianapolis International Airport. Now, see, it's easier not to be distracted by advertising when you're just trying to plug something in. But advertising that does not distract in the middle of the security mishigas, I would suggest, is absolutely unmemorable and ineffective advertising. But that's just me, see. What do I know? I'm not in the business. A thought that makes me almost grateful when I read the trades for you, copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Imagine that, ladies and gentlemen, non-distracting advertising. Doesn't it sound... Yes, it does. But now, a copyrighted feature with its own music. News from outside the bubble. British Prime Minister Tony Blair believes that the way in which former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was executed was, quote, completely wrong. This is according to his official spokesman at No. 10 Downing Street, according to the conservative British newspaper The Telegraph. The hanging, which took place amid taunts and jeers from bystanders, shouldn't have happened in that way, the spokesman said. Blair has come under increasing pressure from his own members of parliament and his own party to comment publicly on the execution and the release of the cell phone footage. He's yet to make a personal statement on the hanging. However, it is understood Blair will make his view clear in public comments over the coming week. He's also expected to confirm his support for the Iraqi government's investigation into how scenes of Saddam being taunted came to be filmed and broadcast. Apparently, they're not going to investigate how he came to be taunted. They know that. It's just that damn film. The Downing Street spokesman would not confirm when Blair would make a statement, but said he supports the inquiry. He does believe that the manner of execution was completely wrong. The comments come after Chancellor of the Exchequer Gordon Brown used a TV interview in the BBC to denounce the manner of Saddam's death as deplorable and completely unacceptable. This echoed the comments of Deputy Prime Minister John Prescott, who last week said the way it was done was deplorable and that those responsible should be ashamed. Name 'em and shame 'em. That's what we got to do with the Iraqis. Health Secretary Patricia Hewitt also added her voice to the criticisms, describing the treatment of Saddam before his hanging as very shocking. They should be ashamed of themselves. Okay, then we will be. And Dateline, in the forgotten war, Dateline Kabul, Afghanistan, radical Islamist Taliban forces shattered and ejected from Afghanistan by the U.S. military 5 years ago are poised for a major offensive against U.S. troops and undermanned NATO forces, prompting American commanders in Kabul to issue an urgent appeal for a new Marine Corps battalion to reinforce the American positions. A surge? I guess. NATO's 30,000 troops in Afghanistan are supposed to have taken responsibility for security operations across the country, but Taliban attacks have risen sharply. And senior U.S. This is according to the Baltimore Sun. And senior U.S. officers have described the NATO operation as weak, hobbled by a shortage of manpower and equipment, and by restrictions put on their troops by their home capitals. You know, the Europeans. You know how they are. They're so very European. The accelerating war in Afghanistan and the critical need for troops vastly complicate the crumbling security picture across the region, says the Baltimore Sun. According to Army Brigadier General Anthony J. Tata, or Tata, well, it'll be Tata for now, but then it'll be Tata later, and other senior U.S. commanders in Kabul, a U.S. Army infantry battalion fighting in a critical area of eastern Afghanistan will be withdrawn within weeks in order to deploy to Iraq, just as the Taliban is expected to unleash a major campaign to cut the vital road between Kabul and Kandahar. Timing, ladies and gentlemen. Timing. It's timing. The official said the Taliban intend to seize Kandahar, Afghanistan's second largest city, and the place where the group was organized in the 1990s. It's kind of a homecoming, don't you know? So we're taking a battalion out of Afghanistan for the surge in Iraq. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen? General James Conway, commandant of the Marine Corps, said in an interview after a recent series of briefings in Afghanistan, this could be a pivotal year for U.S. and NATO forces in Afghanistan. They all seem kind of pivotal now, don't they? I don't think that they see they are near defeat or anything, he said. I just think they sense they are vulnerable to inroads being made against what had been a relatively stable country, he says. Despite the presence of about 30,000 NATO troops, 10% short of what its member nations had pledged to provide, Taliban attacks on U.S. and Afghan forces more than tripled in the past year, U.S. and allied forces, from 1,600 in 2005 to 5,300 in 2006, according to U.S. military intelligence. Suicide bomb attacks leapt from 18 in 2005 to 116 last year. Direct fire attacks more than tripled, indicating an increasingly emboldened Taliban willing to attack head-on. That's so chicken of them to be willing to attack head-on. NATO is unable or unwilling to stem the rising violence. The Taliban are pressing their advantage. Rather than withdrawing to regroup over the winter, according to intelligence officials, the Taliban forces clad in new cold-weather boots and fleece jackets are fighting through the winter, says Colonel Chris Haas, commander of the Joint Special Operations Task Force in Afghanistan. Quote, it is bleak, said a special ops officer, fresh in from advising Afghan army units, quote, the gains we have made over the past few years are mostly gone. unquote. U.S. commanders understand the Afghan war is an economy of force operation, a military term for a mission that is given minimal resources because it is a secondary priority, in this case, behind Iraq. At the moment, Taliban fighters are incapable of holding ground, says U.S. military intelligence. And when they go toe-to-toe with U.S. combat forces, they get their clocks clean. But after battle, they are able to regenerate with fresh troops and equipment, and they're wielding more sophisticated and newer weaponry, says a U.S. military intelligence officer. The Taliban are building up forces in southern Afghanistan. U.S. Special Forces teams have found logistics bases and a field hospital for as many as 900 Taliban fighters in Helmand province, where the Brits have been under attack recently. Intelligence officers said the Taliban... Oh, and then it ends. No, it doesn't. It's right over here. It continues. Don't you know? Taliban forces often travel with foreign advisors from Chechnya and elsewhere. Taliban operations across Afghanistan are also seriously hampering economic development. There are thousands of projects waiting to be done, says a senior U.S. officer. The problem, see if this sounds familiar, is security. Says an intelligence officer, you leave and they return. The thing is to be able to stop that from happening. And that is why the general has asked for more forces here. In response to that request, Poland has agreed to send 1,000 troops in April. So hats off to Poland. The gains we've made over the past few years are mainly gone, according to a special forces operator. Ladies and gentlemen, news from, British, before we conclude, another more from this story. British troops established a series of strong points and then wouldn't go out on patrol, says an American officer. It got almost comical when the Taliban would do drive-by shootings. There's Brits. One Special Forces officer, an advisor with the Afghan Army, told of asking Canadians for help in regaining the initiative in battle. They refused to cross the river to help, the officer said in a cold fury. It is disturbing, said General Conway. I thought the troops in NATO were more aggressive. Asked to respond to those allegations against the Canadians and Brits, a NATO official said there is no policy that would prevent any NATO troops from coming to help in battle or treat wounded. A spokesman for Canada's forces in Ottawa says it's absolutely not true that Canadians do not patrol on foot. A British diplomat asked about allegations that British outposts were attacked in Taliban drive-by shootings said that information was outdated. General Tata says the war in Afghanistan is winnable and we are winning. But he said the shortage of aggressive troops creates a strategic high risk, a strategic threat if the Taliban are able to establish a sanctuary and an operational threat to the elected government. It took 10 years for the Taliban to evict the Soviets, said an American intelligence officer. They look on this as a long-term struggle, and they are dug in for the long haul. This is year 4 in the Taliban struggle against the United States after they regrouped and began actively fighting. Given the Soviet model, they have 6 more years to go. They are patient with that. News from outside the bubble, ladies and gentlemen. It is such a copyrighted feature of this very broadcast.
Like it did, there's a morning. Desdemona, my own Desdemona.
This is Le Show, and now time for the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Dateline Wichita, the sports director for Channel 3, KSN, uttered a profanity on air during the 6 p.m. newscast Thursday, prompting the station to issue an on-air apology 4 hours later. Jim Kobe, who's been sports director for more than a year, apparently became frustrated with technical problems. Obviously, he didn't know his mic was on, says KSN news director Todd Spessard. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were. It was inexcusable. Tape of the broadcast showed the incident occurred just after Kobe wrapped up a discussion with a colleague who was preparing to cover a basketball game. After the discussion, the station went to a taped story, and Kobe obviously assumed his microphone was off. He can clearly be heard shouting, "F you, Buzz!" apparently directing his frustration at a technical director working on the newscast. An appropriate disciplinary action has been taken. Kobe was apologetic when he learned what had happened. He was not at the station for the 10 o'clock newscast. The Israeli Prime Minister issued a rare public apology this week after a large-scale Israeli army raid in Ramallah killed at least four Palestinian civilians and left dozens more wounded. "I'm sorry if innocent people were hurt," Ehud Olmert said after discussions with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. "Unfortunately," he said, "things developed in a way that could not have been predicted. If innocent people were hurt, this was not our intention," said Israeli Prime Minister Olmert. Two Israeli television channels report that the Prime Minister is planning to fire the Defense Minister. The Prime Minister denied the reports. Dateline Tokyo. A troop of dancers in skin-colored bodysuits had Japanese national broadcaster NHK apologizing to viewers of its New Year's Eve music special for what seemed to be a full-scale Janet Jackson-style wardrobe malfunction. The dancers, who all appeared to be topless and wore skimpy bikini-style bottoms and feathered headdresses, covered the stage during a performance by singer DJ Ozma, prompting 250 viewers to phone in and complain. "The dancers were wearing bodysuits, but we apologize for any misunderstanding," a presenter announced toward the end of the 57th annual Red and White Song Contest. "I guess it looked a bit too real," local media quoted the singers telling reporters. Dateline Los Angeles. Ed Bach is the head of animal services, basically the city's dog catcher. He has a city-funded website. He's a former preacher. And he posted a massive 3,200-word sermon on the site. The overall point of the piece, supporting no-kill policies for city shelters, included 11 mentions of God, 15 mentions of Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah mentioned 5 times, Darwin 4 times, faith 3 times, angels 1 time, and evil 16 mentions. Quote, "If Abraham could prevail upon God to make compassionate choices, perhaps we can prevail upon our community to do the same." Bach, who earns $167,000 a year to run the city's animal shelters, says, quote, "Note, I apologize if any religious references within this message offended anybody. The text has been edited to be less offensive. The message is intended only to encourage respect for the lives of our community, lost and homeless pets. Happy New Year." Dateline Australia. An Australian bank has apologized for issuing a credit card to a cat after its owner decided to test the bank's identity security system. The Bank of Queensland issued a credit card to Messiah the Cat when his owner, Catherine Campbell, applied for a secondary card on her account under Messiah's name. "I just couldn't believe it. People need to be aware of this, and banks need to have better security," Campbell told local media. The bank said the cat's card had been canceled. "We apologize, as this should not have happened," it said in a statement. Bank issued a statement. That is news. Dateline Boston. Former House Speaker Tom Finneran apologized after pleading guilty to a charge of obstruction of justice. The once-powerful Beacon Hill Democrat was accused of lying under oath in a lawsuit stemming from a legislative redistricting plan. Before a packed federal courtroom that included friends and family, Finneran apologized to his former constituents and to the people of Massachusetts. He said he shamed himself and his family. See, Iraqis, that's how you do it. You get ashamed, and you admit to being shamed. The former speaker said he diverted from a code of conduct he followed in his personal and professional life. He will avoid prison, but pay a $25,000 fine and be placed on 18 months of unsupervised probation. He admitted to making misleading and false statements under oath when he said he had not seen or reviewed the redistricting plan, when in fact he had. P. Diddy, according to this wire service, although I thought he'd taken the P out of his name. Remember that? I had that quote about a year and a half ago when he said the P was getting between him and the audience. I can understand. Anyway, he's issued an apology to an animal rights group following a mix-up with fake and real fur. The rapper's clothing line, Sean John, was recently found to have used raccoon dog fur in the hoods of its jackets. The Humane Society of the United States was incensed, demanding an explanation. Diddy, whose real name is Sean Combs, was Puff Daddy, Puffy, P. Diddy, now Diddy, as you know, I'm proposing his next name, Poop Duty, claims the incident was accidental and has promised it will not be repeated. Quote, I was unaware of the nature of this material, but as soon as we were alerted, the garments were pulled off the Macy's floor and website. I have instructed our licensee to cease the production of any garment using this material immediately. Quote, the Diddy Man. Dateline Denver, 18 people who said they were sexually assaulted by Colorado clergy have settled their claims against the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Denver for a total of at least $1.6 million, attorneys and church officials said. 15 of them had filed lawsuits against the archdiocese, alleging the church officials knew of abuse allegations against two priests but didn't do enough to shield children from the abuse. It's time for us to be grateful that there's closure, says Archbishop Charles Chaput. That's a bad word to be using in this context, but anyway, he used it. But not to forget the pain they've experienced, he said. 20 lawsuits against the archdiocese remain. The priest in the allegations died, was accused of molesting at least 12 boys during his 33-year church career. That's less than one boy a year. Before he died, he told a TV station in Denver that allegations against him contained half-truths. So I guess he half-abused them. Other plaintiffs had accused the Reverend Leonard Abercrombie, who died in 1994. Chaput apologized for their suffering. An email to this broadcast. Dear Harry, I am part of the 501st Legion of Stormtroopers that marched in the 2007 Rose Parade. During the KTLA broadcast of the parade, Bob Eubanks insulted our group, calling us groupies. These would be Star Trek, I guess, Stormtroopers. Calling us groupies and saying, quote, there's a bunch of guys that need to get a job, unquote. Apparently, he hadn't bothered to read the brief about our organization, so was unaware that we are a service-oriented organization that raises funds and donates our time to children's charities all over the world. Unfortunately, KTLA, Channel 5 in Los Angeles, sells their broadcast worldwide, so millions of viewers are left with this impression of us. Shortly after the parade broadcast, our members and our friends and families began flooding Mr. Eubanks and the KTLA inboxes with emails expressing our displeasure. He has issued private apologies, and they do seem sincere. However, I'm not sure we'll ever get another chance to reach that kind of audience again, so the opportunity to show the world what we do is gone for good. Signed, Kim. Well, I think we reach millions, Kim. Speaking of which, Wolf Blitzer apologized for a graphic during this morning, during the coverage of the Gerald Ford funeral, that said, "Where's Obama?" According to a transcript, Blitzer said, "I just want to make a correction, an apology, Soledad, for what we did yesterday in the Situation Room. We had a bad graphic. We were doing a piece on the hunt for Osama bin Laden in this new year, 2007. Unfortunately, instead of saying, 'Where is Osama?' it said, 'Where is Obama?' I'm going to be calling Senator Barack Obama to make a personal apology around the world." Quote, Wolf Blitzer. And the maker of Madden NFL 07, a popular video game, apologized after a 14-year-old boy found pornography while trying to play with the game, a Christmas gift. Quote, "We regret any embarrassment and inconvenience to the family," says Tammy Schachter, a spokeswoman for Electronic Arts in Redwood City, California. "This game was released in August 2006 and has sold over 5 million units. We've never had any type of complaint," she said. Colton Mahoney received the game from an uncle who had purchased it at a Circuit City store in Modesto, California. The game was in a factory-sealed case. An explicit image appeared when played, as well as titles of several adult films produced by a studio in Northridge, California. Circuit City plans to send a replacement along with several other games, according to the boy's father. I'm pleased, he said, they're willing to take responsibility for something that happened in one of their stores. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is a copyrighted feature of this very broadcast. We know that President Bush is going to be making a speech this week. It is widely reported that the speech will be his method of specifying the new way forward in Iraq. And it is widely reported, speculation so far, based on leaks, that the new way forward will include a surge of 20,000 to 30,000 troops into Iraq, as well as a new strategy of crossing fingers. Now, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid of the Senate have already written a letter to the White House opposing the surge, which Nancy Pelosi is smart enough, apparently, to insist on calling an escalation. Recalling how well that played during Vietnam days, that verbiage. Oh, doggone it. I found another apology. I'll read it later. Anyway, yes, so the surge speech is coming up this week. We know that. We're all on pills and needles waiting for it. But in the meantime, a couple of other notes from the White House. The White House and the Secret Service, this just came out this week, but last spring they quietly signed an agreement in the midst of the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal, declaring that records identifying visitors to the White House complex, the visitors' logs, are now not subject to public disclosure. The five-page document declares that all entry and exit data on White House visitors belongs to the White House as presidential records rather than to the Secret Service as agency records. Therefore, the material is not subject to public disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act. Of course, Secret Service logs revealed the comings and goings of various White House visitors, including Monica Lewinsky, Clinton campaign donor Denise Rich, and Jack Abramoff. So now, according to the White House logs are secret. And you may recall that quote of the year, I called it last week, when President Bush said of the Geneva Conventions, it's a little confusing, offenses against human dignity. What does that mean? Well, apparently he's learned. President Bush says Saddam Hussein could have been hanged in a more dignified way. In his first comments, he said, I wish, obviously, the proceedings had gone in a more dignified way. So the president now is up to speed on the human dignity issue. But that speech, that pending speech, it may be the subject of a phone call next here on the show.
Surging Eagle. That's just a randomly selected code name, though, isn't it? 43. Hey, 41. No, matter of fact, we've taken the whole choosing of code names process away from the Secret Service, put under White House control. Carl thinks it helps message discipline. Good Lord knows it needs some help.
Well, I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So what's the message this code name is sending, Sprout?
Just that the Eagle is surging. Seems pretty self-eventual.
Yeah. Hey, great to see you and Laura at the service for President Ford.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't that a dignified event?
Sure was.
Yeah, I mean, it just reeked with dignity.
Yes, it did.
I thought my speech was pretty good.
Oh, your people did an excellent job.
Yeah, yeah. And,
And you delivered it with great solemnity.
See, that's what I keep telling Rovemeister. I do solemnity well.
Now you do it very well.
Yeah, see, he doesn't buy it. He thinks optimism is my core emotion.
Well, you do that well, too. Just sometimes it seems a little
goofy?
No.
Forced?
No, not really. Inappropriated?
No, definitely not that.
Well, what then? You know, see, I'm kind of high on my optimism.
Know that. Think it's generally justified.
Yeah.
Times when it might be a little premature might be the best way to couch it.
Hey, sir, if
yeah.
I may,
yeah.
Listen up. Wasn't it the philosopher who said optimism is the wind beneath our wings?
Might have been the songwriter.
Well, anyways, we got a new team for the new year and a new way forward. You like that slogan? Carl says it's got two of America's favorite words in it.
Sounds a little Maoist to these old ears. Kind of envision the Chinese Army chorus singing a two-hour hymn of praise to the new way forward.
Well, what do you expect from people whose hymns aren't about him?
Good point.
So, we didn't talk about this at the service, but
you saw what Jerry Ford said to Bob Woodward.
Didn't see it. Saw about it.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever his reasons for pardoning old man Nixon, it's...
It didn't mean that quote. Meant the one about the other thing.
Iraq?
Yes, that was the other thing.
You know, 4-1, if I'd wanted to know what Jerry Ford thought of my Iraq policy any time in the last 4 years, I could have just paid his $10,000 appearance fee and had him over here for a chat.
Well...
That was always the problem with Colin.
The appearance fee?
No, while I was working here, he spent so much time telling us how to plan a war when he never won one. See, you want winners in baseball. Don't you seem to remember that from my days in baseball? So, you know, we're not interested in people who aren't interested in victory. If you don't believe me, ask General Casey and General Abizade, or as I call him, General I'm Afraid.
No, you don't call him that to his face.
It didn't see him face-to-face all that much, mainly secure video conferences, of course. But no, unlike the White House press corps, I don't use generals' nicknames in front of them. Carl said it was bad for morale. Yeah, I said it was great for my morale. But
still feel victory is in the cards?
Cards are for gamblers. I've just completed the most exhausting review of our Iraq policy ever undertaken by this undertaker. Victory is just around the corner, 4-1. To give up on it now would mean that I'd spend my whole first term in vain.
Just around the corner.
Yes, sir. It's a matter
of... Seems like there have been a heck of a lot of corners in this thing.
You know,
sometimes in life you turn enough corners, you end up back where you started.
I don't think Harry Truman or Winston Churchill ever counted corners. Do you, 4-1?
Don't know about that. You've been reading their biographies, haven't you?
Been reading executive summaries, yeah. Everybody thought they were, quote, optimists, too. I guess it comes with the territory of being on the cutting edge of history without a paddle.
Suppose so.
Yeah.
Hear that a lot of the other generals that you didn't replace aren't so happy about the surge idea.
Yes, sir. And their generals, they're used to following orders. They'll be getting orders to win. End of story about that tune.
A lot of folks in Congress not going to be too happy about a surge.
Yes, sir, Congress. 4-1, they don't have the cojones to let a lobbyist take them to lunch. You know, they're going to send letters and issue press releases, but Carl thinks the surge is going to put them in a heck of a trap, you know. Can't support it. Can't not fund it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's not why we're doing it, but makes the whole deal sort of win-win.
So, even worst-case scenario, it's... Lose-win.
If you want to look at it that way, I prefer to see it as how the glass is half full of victory.
Well, good luck with the new team, 43.
Yeah, thanks, 4-1. Great to see you at the service. We should do that more often.
Go to funerals? Think it's inevitable?
I mean, just see each other. You know, no agendas, no attitudes, just some good old solemnity.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sprout, we'll be watching your speech make us proud, as you so often do.
You got it, 41. Tell Mom Laura sends her love.
Will do.
So I found this apology that I had laid aside. This This could be the apology of the week. Deadline Washington, the Army says it will apologize to the families of about 275 officers killed or wounded in action who were mistakenly sent letters urging them to return to active duty. The letters were sent a few days after Christmas to more than 5,100 Army officers who'd recently left the service. Included were letters to about 75 officers killed in action and 200 wounded in action. The 75 represent more than one-third of all Army officers who've died in Iraq since the war began. Army personnel officials, are now contacting those officers' families to personally apologize for erroneously sending the letters, Army said. The Army blamed. Any guesses? Yes, of course, the computer. What else could it possibly be? And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the warm. News of the
soft, listen to the warm.
The number of butterfly and moth species migrating to Britain for the summer has increased fourfold in the past 25 years, according to researchers. With each degree of temperature rise, 14 extra species can be expected to cross the English Channel in search of new breeding territory. Many will end up staying permanently. While some visitors may be a delight to the eye, there are fears they could drive out native species and bring disease with them. Butterflies and moths are only a small proportion of the insect immigrants, says Tim Sparks of the Center for Ecology and Hydrology. Others that could arrive in Britain include malaria-carrying mosquitoes. A dire set of predictions of the consequences of global warming in Europe is contained in a report for the European Commission. It forecasts that by 2071, climate change will cause droughts and floods that will kill 90,000 people a year, while damage from rising sea levels will cost tens of billions of euros. Those around the Mediterranean who've been slow to act to curb greenhouse gas emissions, such as Italy and Spain, not pointing any fingers, would suffer most from drought, reduced soil fertility, fire, and other climate change-driven factors, according to the study, a copy of which has been obtained by the Financial Times. The report posits two scenarios. One envisions a 2.2-degree temperature rise, the other a 3-degree rise. Crop yields would rise by up to 70% in northern Europe, but fall by up to a fifth in the south. Plants and animals associated with certain geographic regions are moving or dying, the report says. The sea level could rise by up to a meter, and by then I hope to know what a meter is. A direct link between rising sea temperatures and a declining fish population has been established for the first time. The decade-long study of a North Sea fish species shows how small ocean temperature changes can drastically affect a marine organism's oxygen supply. It's the eel pout fish, Zoarces viviparus, which lives on the bed of the North Sea and the Baltic Sea. It's been studied for over a decade by the Institute for Polar and Marine Research in Bremerhaven, Germany. Used to a chilly environment, the fish exists within a narrow band of sea temperatures. And this is the first study to link climate changes to physiological effects in the fish species. Australia appears to be suffering from an accelerated greenhouse effect, with the pace of global warming faster across Australia than in other parts of the world, according to climatologists. The world's driest inhabited continent, already in one of its worst droughts, is in the middle of its own unique climate war, according to the Australian Bureau of Meteorology. Half the country is desperate for water. The other half is awash with a year's rainfall for the entire continent. Sounds like somebody needs pipelines. And fish species on the Great Barrier Reef are starving to death because climate change is killing off their food source, an environmental study has found. Rising sea temperatures have bleached more than 30% of the world's coral reefs, according to a 5-year study by the Center of Excellence for Coral Reef Studies. As a result, smaller fish which would normally feed on the live coral are dying off, which could throw the fish food chain out of balance and subsequently hinder fishing and tourism operations. News of the warm, ladies and gentlemen. Copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the East Coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, The Planet, Mighty 104 in Berlin, Channel 133 on XM satellite radio, around the world via your computer and the internet at two different locations, live and archived, harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, available as a free download at www.audible.com/theshow, and available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And be just like that digital picture being better than analog, if you'd agree to be with me then, would you? Alrighty, thank you very much, huh? The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack, a tip of the Le Show chapeau to the San Diego and Pittsburgh desks. Le Show playlists available at harryshearer.com. And thanks to Bob and Jenny at WWNO in New Orleans for help with today's broadcast. And thanks, as always, to Pam Halstead. Can you hear the beads? The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.